This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this.
You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo. We are also podcasting on the Rabble Podcast Network at rabble.ca, and you can find AWOL on the web at peaceculture.org.
And we're here back with Grand River Radical Radio 100.3 Sound FM, Waterloo, Ontario. Host Dan Keller in studio with you this morning. It's the 29th of June. Oh, wow. We're moving right along. It's beautiful out today. As promised, we have Paisley Kozarin from Stop the Tar Sands KW today with us. And we're going to be talking about the Enbridge Pipeline Line 9 reversal. Many people haven't heard about that today, or yet, because it's been kind of hidden and not spoken about. There's a lot of pipeline issues going on across Turtle Island right now with, recent spills in Alberta, recent couple years ago, and we're going to talk about the Enbridge spill in the Kalamazoo River. And we haven't even heard about this plan to reactivate a shutdown pipeline to toss tar sands oil to the East Coast, and that's going to be coming right through our backyard, right over the Grand River. And we're here today to talk about that. I guess we'll just jump right into it. Paisley, you want to maybe get into what this project is a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. The Line 9 pipeline was built in 1976 across, it spans from Sarnia to Montreal. It's been decommissioned for over a year now. So that means that it's had very minimal amounts of oil going through it. So what happened was, in 2009, Enbridge shelved a project called Trailbreaker, which the plan was to reverse the entire pipeline. Instead of flowing from east to west, it would flow from west to east, and therefore could ship Alberta crude oil. So that plan didn't work out in 2009. So in 2011, they reapplied to reverse part of the pipeline. And so what this is essentially doing is dividing up the project so that they can avoid a full environmental assessment and greater scrutiny. So the first phase is called Line 9 Reversal Phase 1. And so phase one is, it's a reversal from Sarnia to Westover.
Where's Westover?
It's a fairly small town. It's like south of Cambridge. Okay. Anyway, so I was just going to mention the National Energy Board hearings.
Right, right.
So in 2011, like I said, Enbridge applied to the National Energy Board to reverse the flow of the pipeline between Sarnia and Westover. So the National Energy Board had public hearings where folks could come out and people were, like, they applied to be able to speak at these hearings. And so what happened was the Haudenosaunee people were not engaged in this process. They were basically excluded from the hearings. So basically on May 9th, which were when the public hearings started in London, the hearings were disrupted by several activists and also a few people from Six Nations.
Right, yeah. So this Westover, I mean, if it's south of Cambridge, it's probably close to the Grand River. It seems like this pipeline's going to cross right over the Grand River, obviously.
Yep.
Six Nations territory.
Yep.
And how was it that they weren't included or overlooked in this process? And mm-hmm. I guess what went down at that disruption?
Right. So the Line 9... the Line 9 hearings were they weren't well publicized. They were also sped up, like the process was sped up so that they could get them done faster. So what happened was the Six Nations folks didn't get their application in on time. Mm-hmm. because they heard about it too late, because mm-hmm. the process was sped up, and right. because there wasn't enough publicity surrounding it.
Yeah.
So, right. So they did have some representation with the Haudenosaunee Development Institute, but they didn't receive intervener status. So, right.
Right.
And then regarding the disruption, so we all went in. Again, it was a public hearing, so we were allowed in, but they kind of had a bit of an idea. Like, security was really tight. Mm-hmm. There were police officers there. So they kind of had an idea that something was going to happen. And again, this occurred in London. So we all went in, and an activist from London did a mic check, and we kind of chanted out how we felt about the fact that the Haudenosaunee were not being engaged in the process. And then it was really funny. All the oil representatives just like fled out of the room as fast as they could, because they just didn't want to listen, I guess. And then Ruby Montour, Missy Elliott, and Wes Elliott, they all kind of got up and started speaking in the middle of the hearing. It was awesome. And there was a lot of media there. They got a lot of coverage. The New York Times were there. Mm. Yeah, so there's video footage of that, too. Right. It's on the internet.
Yeah, I think that's up on the Toronto Media Co-op webpage.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting, and it's interesting that it got so much coverage that, right, you know, people are paying attention in New York, because this reversal basically is, mm-hmm. I mean, this is phase one from Sarnia to Westover, which,
yeah.
I mean, you do that one phase, you need to do the second phase, I think, and that will be their argument. If they get the first phase approved, well, then... Yeah. Of course, the second phase should be approved.
For sure.
And we've talked about that on Grand River Radical Radio before, like splitting up the project until it's so small that.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's still huge. It's still a pretty big mm-hmm. step, because this pipeline was shut down, from my understanding, or closed down mm-hmm. for the last while, and they're mm-hmm. going to start it back up again to send tar sands crude through, and mm-hmm. From my understanding, again, it's a different type of oil.
It is.
Yeah, it's not. They're not the same type of pipelines. This one was built when?
Which pipeline?
The Line 9.
Line 9 was built in 1976.
Okay, so 76.
Right. So it was built before the boom in Alberta.
Right.
It's generally, up till now, it's only carried conventional crude oil. So it's called light crude, mm-hmm. Which means it flows freely. Whereas tar sands oil... what they're doing is they put diluted bitumen through the pipelines, mm-hmm. and what that is the diluent is natural gas.
Okay.
And so the problem with that, and I can talk about that more when we come to the Kalamazoo stuff, is that dilbit is a lot more corrosive than conventional crude oil, because it has more chemicals in it, and so it burns through the pipeline, and that's what causes ruptures. Another thing is that if it does spill, the diluent, the natural gas, evaporates into the air, and it makes people sick, and then the bitumen sinks into the water, and it's really hard to clean up.
Right. And I guess I'd probably be under pretty high pressure, too.
Exactly. It's under very high pressure to be able to push it through the pipeline, because it's so thick.
And so where are we at in the National Energy Board hearings? They happened back in May.
Mm-hmm.
When's the decision expected?
Right. So the hearings, again, were May 9th and 10th, and maybe even 11th as well, because they were interrupted. So we're expecting a decision by August... roughly around August 20th.
Okay.
But it could come anytime before that, maybe even a little after. Hmm. But that's the expected date.
But there's no...
No, it's like totally kind of like up in the air. There's no exact time.
Now, has there been other actions taking place around Trailbreaker, around mm-hmm. this Line 9 reversal?
Mm-hmm.
Anything coming up? For people to get more information even about this?
Yep. So there's two things happening. Right now, we are planning on having some sort of solidarity event with Michigan on July 25th. In Marshall, Michigan, 2 years ago, there was a massive oil spill from an Enbridge pipeline. It's called Line 6B. 2 years ago, massive spill into the Kalamazoo River. It spilled 3 million liters of oil. And to this day, the parts of the river are still contaminated. Like, you can't go in them. It's one of the most expensive and the most costliest and longest oil spill in the Midwest history.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's a lot of similarities between Line 9 and the Line 6B, especially because they link up, too.
Oh.
Yeah. They actually, if Line 9 goes through where they get to, if they reverse the entire thing,
right.
They're also planning on extending Line 6B as well. And Line 6B is the pipeline that ruptured two years ago.
That broke.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So they're planning on putting that in use, too, and connecting it with Line 9. So we're planning on having a solidarity event. Not sure where yet. That's kind of still in the works. And then we're also planning, hopefully, to have a bike tour. We'd like to tour the line, like the Line 9. So we would bike through the communities that would be affected. Right. So there's kind of a working group right now that's planning that from Environmental Justice Ontario. And we would just be a group biking through the communities and mostly just kind of trying to mobilize those communities, giving them information that we have, because I guess a lot of us have done some research into this. And again, the Line 9 pipeline reversal and Enbridge's agenda isn't really well publicized. So we're hoping to really kind of rally the troops in those communities. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, let's kick it to a song and we'll come back. We've been speaking with Paisley Kozarin of Stop the Tar Sands KW. And we're talking about the Enbridge Line 9 reversal and the kind of other bad ideas around tar sands oil. Mm-hmm. We're going to a song. This is Red Union with The Partisan.
Surrender. Oh, this I could not do.
Welcome back. That was The Partisan by Red Moon. Of course, that's a cover of a Leonard Cohen song. And it's a pretty fun cover, in my opinion. We're speaking with Pacey Cosarin of Stop the Tar Sands KW. We're talking about the Line 9, Enbridge Line 9 pipeline reversal, trying to ship tar sands oil through Ontario. And we were just speaking of what happened in Michigan on the Kalamazoo River a couple years ago with their Line 6B. And you mentioned how it was very similar to Line 9. Could you expand on that a little?
Mm-hmm. So Line 6B is also a fairly old pipeline. Like I said before, Line 9 was built in 1976. Line 6B was also built sometime in the 70s. And it was built before tar sands crude oil was being shipped around. So it's built, its intended purpose is to ship conventional crude oil, same as Line 9. Both of these pipelines are managed by Enbridge. And they are also both built, they're both constructed with the same polyethylene tape as a coating.
Okay.
So they have very similar construction. So Line 9 crosses several major watersheds, roughly about 12. Wow. And that includes the Grand River and the Thames River in London.
Yeah. Right, that's a pretty big similarity. Crosses a lot of watersheds. And what we know about Line 6B, transporting tar sands crude, is that it blew up.
Yeah.
And now...
Yeah. Exactly.
Or, you know, they say it had an accident, or there was an accident.
Right.
No, like there was a blowout of a pipeline.
Yeah.
A failure. It's not an accident. Yeah. You know, these things happen in industrial projects. And if Line 9's crossing the Thames River, the Grand, and I mean, and then moving east, further east to, you know, other watersheds, that's going to cross a lot of indigenous land. Of course, we're on the Haldimand Tract here. And if it's crossing, and if Westover is, you know, a little south of Cambridge, it's probably going to be crossing the river north of Oshawekan.
Yeah, so the Line 9 pipeline crosses through the Haldimand Tract just north of Brantford, which is south of Ayr.
Right.
And then it also crosses, so like I said, it crosses the Grand River, and it crosses south of Cambridge. So the reason why this is a huge issue, not only is the Grand River just a major watershed for numerous reasons, the community of Oswegan, which is a Six Nations community, it's they're located downstream from the Line 9 crossing, and they rely on this river for different environmental, cultural, spiritual, and socioeconomic purposes. So, for example, that's where their drinking water comes from. That's where their potable water comes from. And so if there were to be a spill there, it would be a major blow to that community. And like I said before, I was mentioning that these spills are really hard to clean up because if that pipeline does end up carrying dilbit, which is really likely because, well, if it's not carrying conventional crude oil in it and they decide to put tar sands oil through it, it will probably be dilbit because in Alberta, their upgrading capacities are really, they're kind of like limited right now.
Right.
So instead of upgrading it to a different kind of oil, it's usually dilbit. And again, like I said, dilbit is really corrosive, and it also is really hard to clean up because it sinks to the bottom. And of course, the noxious fumes that are released into the air, it makes people really sick. So for example, in Michigan, the residents of Marshall, they reported nausea, migraines, all kinds of illnesses after that spill occurred. So imagine this happens to our indigenous communities.
Right. And I thought I heard that the people are still, like, not in their homes around some of that spill site in Michigan. And so, I mean, there's what, a few million people or a million people on the Grand River watershed.
It's
a lot of people to disrupt. And I mean, there's resistance all along the watershed. There's lots of land protection going on to save the watershed at the headwaters. This one's about halfway down the Grand River, and that's pretty serious. Because, I mean, they do blow up. The pipelines do, mm-hmm. they do, mm-hmm. They do fail. We've seen that in Alberta recently in the, was that the Red Deer River? And then another one a week before that, like a couple million liters spilled into a muskeg and farmland. Mm-hmm. So these are like weekly events. We're hearing about them more and more. How does the National Energy Board, why was this project kind of even allowed to go through, or how did it get restarted? It just seems like a kind of a bad idea.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Enbridge actually, because the line, because the pipeline was already built, Enbridge claimed that it was a environmentally benign, meaning it wouldn't affect the environment if the pipeline was reversed, if the flow was reversed. Right. But again, they didn't release, they pretend, like, it's not that they pretend, but they did not release any sort of statement saying that tar sands oil would be going through it. They only claimed that it would just be conventional crude oil going through this pipeline. However, they did make a statement days before the hearing stating that they have industry support in Alberta to put tar sands oil through that pipeline.
Right.
So I have no clue why the National Energy Board would not take that into consideration. And also, we have to mention that the National Energy Board does not take into consideration in their hearings any mention of the tar sands and climate impacts. That's outside of their jurisdiction, basically. Yeah, outside of their scope, which is ridiculous.
Like, I mean, obviously, if tar sands oil is going to be coming through, a project like this is going to support that industry and support what it's doing. And it's connected. I've run into this so many times in these kind of projects where they just, the scope is so small that they don't consider anything that's not. It's hard to say anything that will actually make an impact. They try not to consider it.
Right.
A self-defeating process, really. It's just going to, and I mean, when it leads to, if it leads to approval and then phase two gets approved and tar sands oil starts flowing and then there is a rupture, we didn't think of that. Well,
yeah. I would also like to point out that this, I don't have this confirmed, but, I have heard that the leak in, like, the rupture in the line 6B in the Kalamazoo River was due to a pinhole leak. It wasn't even like a giant like explosion or anything. Right. It was a pinhole.
And it just kept spraying out of that.
Yeah, and then it pressure. Like actually, because they're so high pressure that it just like actually did kind of explode after. But initially, it was a pinhole leak.
That's really interesting. It just shows like how fragile.
Yeah, definitely.
Something that is so, and it's 2 years and those people can't live in their homes.
No.
Can't use the land along the river. And I mean, I assume there's some serious impact to the aquatic life as well
definitely.
In that river.
Definitely.
It's gone from,
for sure.
From what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that little update on line 9.
No problem.
There's definitely some work that's got to be done. Is there any other opportunities to speak out about this in any impact assessment, or like, is there any more chances to talk to the Energy Board? Or
I don't really think so. I think just like getting involved in kind of like direct action type initiatives. Well, doing like a bike tour is like
some educational.
It's an educational thing,
right.
But we're getting out there, and we're not really stuff with the National Energy Board is kind of like we're kind of over it right now.
Right.
So, doing like a bike tour, for example, to educate other people to get them involved is kind of what we're focusing on right now.
Sure, and I mean you did the action down in London, disrupted the hearing, got a lot of press on that, and started that process, and I think. Some mass education on this is a pretty,
for sure.
Pretty good thing. So again, thanks to Paisley Kosarin from Stop the Tar Sands KW, talking about the Enbridge Line 9 reversal, the tar sands oil pipeline, most likely to bring tar sands crude. I don't want to call it oil. It's not like it's not conventional oil, what we think about in in most pipelines. If you want more information on all of this, check out a new report called Going in Reverse, The Tar Sands Oil Threat to Central Canada and New England. And it's from the Natural Resources Defense Council, or it's at least posted on their page. And that's a pretty good one. And also, so that's nrdc.org. And also check out peopleshearing2012.wordpress.com. And you can check out the action, the disruption that we were talking about, and also get some of that background information. There's maps, you know, show you where North Westover Station is, and the Westover Terminal. And it's obvious that pipeline wouldn't, you know, the project continues beyond that, yeah, that point.
It does.
It's kind of obnoxious that they're splitting it into different projects when it's obviously the same pipeline project. Mm-hmm. Anyways, check out peopleshearing2012.wordpress.com. Thanks again to Paisley for coming in. Hopefully
Thank you.
We can have you back, yeah. And we're going to go to a tune, and then Domingo's in for a little Dominican culture. This is Grand River Radical Radio on Sound FM, soundfm.ca, 100.3 Community Co-op Campus Radio, Waterloo.